Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio show. This morning is the beginning of our 8-week series, Home for the Holidays, a celebration of the heart with a gift from the soul. My guest this morning is Susan Sean. She is a mother, a talk radio host, a writer, a speaker, and a social media personality. Susan was born and raised in the Canadian prairies. She has lived in Hong Kong, Sydney, Australia, and in Los Angeles, California. She is joining us this morning from Calgary, Canada, where she is currently living with her husband, Philip, and their three children, Sophia, Gabriel, and Ella. Susan is here to talk about her life's journey as a woman, a mother, and her 10 weeks Christmas plan, a countdown to Christmas Day. Good morning, Susan. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Johnny. Thank you for having me. I am fantastic, and I'm glad to be here.
Wonderful, wonderful. I know we only have 8 weeks left before Christmas as we speak. However, I'm sure you can get us all ready by doubling up on a couple of the countdown lists. But before we get to that, I would like for us to get started to talk about your life's journey. Susan, please tell us about your childhood life with your family and the community you grew up with.
Oh, Johnny, I am a prairie girl. I grew up in on the prairies of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I come from a family of, I've got two brothers, an older brother, a sister, older sister, and a younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
My upbringing was quite interesting. My father was a high school principal when I came into the world. And interestingly enough, before I was born, my family had suffered quite a loss with my little brother, or my older brother, one of my older brothers dying of cot death. And so I entered the world in one of those celebratory ways where I was wanted, I was desired, I was hoped for. And so, you know, my beginning was quite an interesting, very exciting balloons and celebrations, so to say. And when I was 9 years old, 10 years old, my father entered politics, and he was a very influential politician in our province, went on to hold many cabinet seats, and was Minister Health and different portfolios. And so I grew up in quite an interesting way where I was the country girl hanging around on my farm, riding horses, roaming around a huge ranch day by day.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the town we grew up in was 980 people, I think. So I grew up in this very safe environment. I have strong extended family. My grandparents, both my grandmothers, played an incredible role in my life
mm-hmm.
and in shaping who I am. So I am proud to say that I come from a rich heritage, a strong generational idea of what family looks like. We were pioneers in Canada, and so that pioneer spirit is alive and well in all of us. And I have to say that as a childhood, I had a beautiful childhood. My memories are all very nice. I lived in a safe and secure home.
Mm-hmm.
I have always been loved. And so that's kind of me in a nutshell, I guess.
That's fantastic. I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, I have been not out in the Canadian prairies, but certainly in here in the United States. And when you talk about 800-something people in the area where you live, so practically your neighbor is like about, you know, a mile and a half away from one another. I mean, was it
That's right.
something like that, you know, for you too when you were growing up?
Oh, absolutely. And we grew up, you know, our neighbors were a mile, 2 miles apart. We had party telephone lines so you could listen to your neighbors talking on the phones. You
That's
could,
right, yeah.
We
yeah.
were... We were entwined in a beautiful way.
Interesting, yeah, because I remember that, you know, my Italian foster mom lives in Papa Bluff, Missouri, and so Papa Bluff is not as bad, but I mean, but they have relatives all over in Missouri, and I've been to places like that where it was kind of interesting. You know, calling your neighbor could be a long-distance call, so it was quite
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah.
Now, at the age of 18, you became the Young Entrepreneur of the Year, What was that award for?
Yeah, my sister and I actually shared this award. We started a business when I was 16, and it was a it was called Catherine's Maternity, and we rented out maternity clothes. So we designed the clothes, we had them all made, and then we would rent them out to pregnant women. It was a hugely successful business, and that is kind of part of the reason I ended up going to Hong Kong with that business. So that's what we were awarded for. And, yeah, it was kind of one of those extraordinary things. I was in high school, and on the weekends I was working in our shop and outfitting these pregnant women, and here I am 16 years old. But it was a very and it really filled a need. It was something where, you know, maternity clothes were extremely expensive. A lot of women were going back to work at the time. And so what we would do is we outfitted them in work clothes, and then you had your going out clothes. So it was quite an interesting little business that we had.
What got you involved with that? Because you were, you know, in high school at this stage in time, and so something must have triggered this.
You know, Johnny, it really stemmed from a need that probably my mom saw more than we did, because obviously we weren't in that stage of life. My sister and I, she's 5 years older than me. But my mom saw this niche market and thought, you know, we should do that. And we always grew up in a home where we were encouraged to talk about our dreams and what we would like to do. And, you know, many a night we're sat around our kitchen table talking about what could be, what, you know, the possibilities that lie in front of you. And so I was just encouraged as a young 16-year-old to get involved with what was happening. We were one of those families where we were, my maiden name is Taylor, and we truly were the Taylor team. You know, if someone was out running at a track event, or if I was figure skating, or if my brother was playing hockey, or my dad was giving a political speech, we were all there to support one another. And so when we kind of came up with this concept, it was pretty much just expected that I would be part of the program. And so I was there helping and serving and being part of the deal, and really discovered that I really enjoyed what was happening, and so got a little bit more involved. And that's kind of how a 16-year-old in my world engages in business at a young age.
Yeah, I mean, you were certainly not the average 16-year-old, you know, who would probably be thinking about going out and those kind of things, but you were having this entrepreneurial sort of a
Johnny, I was a multitasker. I did my fair share of going out as well. I multitasked back then.
I understand. You know, my mom told me when she was young, this is my Malaysian mom, and she was telling me she used to do all kinds of things at that age, and because for pocket money to spend. And so, you know, so I can understand that too, I guess, you know, and starting very young, say, how can I, you know, get myself going here to be able to afford myself to do things, you know, on my own.
Yeah, that's so. Right.
you've lived in overseas, that is, you know, in Hong Kong, Australia. Please tell us about your life and exploits in these countries.
Well, I think it was as of 2006 I had lived out of Canada longer than I had ever lived in Canada. And so, yeah, I moved to Hong Kong. My father accepted a role when he retired from politics as a diplomat in Hong Kong, and so there was an opportunity for me to go and extend our business that way by doing the manufacturing in Hong Kong and that sort of thing. And so I did that, and whilst I was there, my sister and I had decided to sell the business and do a few different things. So that's initially why I went. I ended up getting into media, and I represented 13 North American titles in Asia, meaning I sold advertising and marketing plans for the likes of the New York Times, the San Francisco Chronicle, the Globe and Mail in Canada, Worth Magazine, Sunset Magazine, some of the magazines that you are probably quite familiar with. And so I represented those magazines and publications in Asia. I managed quite an extensive team and was able, with my work, to travel the globe and do some pretty extraordinary things at a very young age. And, you know, I just happened to be in Hong Kong in the early 90s when things were booming and stuff was happening, and people, you know, of my age and we were offered jobs that were definitely beyond our capabilities, but it was kind of a sink or swim situation, and
right.
I guess that's the kind of personality that I have. I like a challenge. I like to bite something off and see where I can take it. And so I stepped into some roles that set me up for life in many
mm-hmm.
ways. And
mm-hmm.
so that was Hong Kong. I was in Hong Kong for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Loved every minute of it. I could live there for the rest of my life. I think it's one of the most extraordinary cities in the world. People are friendly. Traffic is noisy. Food is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's crowded. I love it. So that was Hong Kong. And then my husband and I decided, my husband's background is finance.
Mm-hmm.
We met in Hong Kong. He mm-hmm. is Korean, so we are one of
mm-hmm.
these mixed bag of nuts where, you know, your classic interracial family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we met in Hong Kong. He grew up there.
Mm-hmm.
Went to university in the States, worked on Wall Street, came back
mm-hmm.
to Hong Kong and met the love of his life.
mm-hmm.
And so we were both working very hard. We got to a point where I remember one particular time we were both on business trips and
mm-hmm.
discovered that we were in New York at the same time, but our assistants hadn't quite figured that out, and we were in different hotels in the same city.
Uh-huh.
And at that point, we kind of looked and went, you know, I just don't know that this corporate ladder thing
mm-hmm.
is going to work so well
mm-hmm.
with our marriage. Because
right.
as any couple knows, when you're traveling, when you're busy like that, when you're working at full speed,
mm-hmm.
it is hard to balance everything.
Right.
And
right.
so at the age of 26, I kind of made a drastic change where I quit my job, and this was when we were still in Hong Kong, and I traveled with my husband, and surprisingly, a lot of my clients ended up coming with me, so I had the best of both worlds. I was still working, but I was able to travel with my husband, and
mm-hmm.
I really was a lady of leisure to a certain extent. I worked,
mm-hmm.
And then I would walk the streets of London and explore, and I'm a big people watcher, so I did a lot of that. But in 1998, we decided that we were going to take a totally different turn in life and do something a little, well, quite different. So we decided to go to Bible college, and we left Hong Kong, we left the corporate world, we hung up our shoes,
mm-hmm.
and we headed to Australia to become students. And that was an extraordinary
mm-hmm.
experience. We ended up from that setting up a 360-degree media agency where we serviced a lot of nonprofit organizations,
mm-hmm.
and we worked alongside some extraordinary nonprofit organizations and helped them just take their message a little bit further. And
mm-hmm.
we gathered a group of in Australia, kids can quit school at grade 10 and go into the trades or
mm-hmm.
do
mm-hmm.
some different things. And so we gathered about 20 young, creative, extraordinary minds, and we pulled
mm-hmm.
them together in this company that we had started called M Collective,
mm-hmm.
and we gave them the opportunity. You know, we had the latest technology. We had beautiful computers and different things for them
mm-hmm.
to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And so we took this group of people that wouldn't have probably gotten the opportunities at the young age that
right.
they did, and we gave them this platform to kind of catapult off of. And it was an extraordinary experience. And we did a lot of work with some interesting clients. And so our Australia experience went from Bible college students to I began lecturing, and we started this company. We had this extraordinary group of young people that were working with us, and it was
mm-hmm.
it was a very rich experience.
It's interesting enough, weren't you guys involved with the Sydney 2000 Olympic Committee also with part of the things you guys are doing with M Collective?
Yes, we did some website work for them. Yep,
mm-hmm.
we helped out with the putting all the national anthems on the website, and we were kind of we were doing some cutting-edge stuff at the time.
Right.
It's
right.
all, you know, everybody can do it now from the home, but what we were doing at the time was a little bit new and exciting. So, yeah, we got to work on some pretty interesting projects. So, yeah, we did that and a few other things that were interesting like that. But, yep.
I mean, you guys were, you know, obviously were way ahead of your time as far as that goes. Now, in 2005, you launched the Family Room, a multi-platform community which encompasses online presence for blogging, radio podcasts, small group gatherings, large-scale events, and media and television appearances and all that. What inspired you to do this?
You know, Johnny, I was inspired to do that. I had my first baby in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a young mom living overseas with no family support or anything. I had a group of friends that had babies at the same time,
mm-hmm.
and they had families there and different things. But I found that I was being asked a lot of the questions,
mm-hmm.
how to do this, and as our kids got older, well, how do you discipline? How are you doing this, Susan? And I found it quite interesting because, you know, I didn't have my mom. My mom came and visited me a lot, but I didn't have her there with me, you know, popping over and having dinner with me or anything. But I discovered that the link and the connection I had with my family was actually quite unique.
Mm-hmm.
And the input that I had with my family was different than what I saw within my friends and their relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of sat back and, you know, I guess a lot of people would comment to me a lot about how, oh, you know, you talk to your dad so often. I don't talk to my dad like that. And the stuff you tell your mom,
right.
I would never tell my mom. Or
right.
the relationship with you, your sister, or even my younger brother who has Down syndrome,
mm-hmm.
the relationship with him. And there's just this connectivity that I saw
right.
within us that I didn't see happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I also saw at the time that family was beginning to erode at a rapid rate,
mm-hmm.
that children were disconnecting from their parents. And you have to think, you know, in 2005, we had email, we had everything. We didn't
right.
have Facebook, we didn't have Twitter, we didn't have any of these things. But
right.
I could see that this isolation was happening. And I would say to my dad a lot, you know, Dad, people don't look people in the eye anymore. And I always teach my children, when you're speaking to someone, look them in the eye. And this whole art of communication I saw was breaking down within family, and then it was eroding even further into our communities. And, you know, being a people watcher and just watching the world, I also was fascinated by
right.
we all build these beautiful homes, and then
mm-hmm.
we build in the backyard, we have these fortresses, and we build fences around them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you look back, Johnny, in the 50s or, you know, you as a boy in Malaysia,
mm-hmm.
we used to play on the street.
That's
our
right.
front yards were right. our playgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Our parents or our grandparents were sitting on the front porch talking to their neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
It was community. But now we all tuck ourselves in the backyard with our barbecue,
mm-hmm.
with our fences up. We dare not peek into our neighbor's yard because they might need something, and
right.
we don't want to extend ourselves any
right.
further. And so that's what I began to see,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, you know what? We need to have a voice. We need to let people know that family can look different
mm-hmm.
because there are some people that want that extraordinary family.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to create, I always say we live in a home, not a house.
Right.
And we need to create a haven for our family and friends to run
right.
to. And I pray every day that that's what my home is. I pray that it's a home on the street, that the kids know that they're safe, that they're welcome, and that it is an environment that they will thrive in.
No, I believe you've accomplished that. I mean, that's quite amazing. I mean, of course, in 2008, you know, you obviously initiate Real Life social media network, and with your Real Life with Susan Sean and your own talk radio show. I mean, I've been on your show, and it's very energetic. It's very well put together. Tremendous amount of positive energy that comes out of it. So, which is very, very interesting. It's something that I think, you know, when you take an initiative like that, it just makes a tremendous difference because somebody has to take the lead. Because I remember what you talk about in terms of, hey, are we inclusive? Are we exclusive? And what you have done is that you creating a global community here, and which is very, very interesting with your family room And that leads us to talking about getting ready for the holidays, you know, the countdown, and to have a wonderful Christmas celebration. I've seen your 10 weeks of Christmas plan. It's awesome. I'm going to go through the list and in a minute here and have you walk us through each one of them. I know that, as I mentioned before, you know, we only have 8 weeks now versus 10 weeks, but I'm sure you could kind of help us condense this thing down to whereby we will still achieve the goal that we wanted to achieve of having a fantastic Christmas Day. Let's start off with week one, pause for thought. Fill us in on that.
Okay, so the purpose behind, if I can back up a little bit
sure,
and give you
yeah.
the mm-hmm. why behind the what, the reason we did this Christmas plan, and it has been hugely successful, the reason we did it was because I found, you know, myself, I have mm-hmm. been that person who has slid into Christmas Eve, stressed out, cranky, tired, not tired, absolutely exhausted, wrapping gifts until 2 o'clock in the morning. And I kind of sat there one year and I went, you know what, this could be different. This could look a lot different. And so we sat down and I discovered that actually most people are like that. There are a lot of dads out there that are running out on Christmas Eve looking mm-hmm. for Christmas lights. And Christmas turns into this big fight rather than feast and festivity. Couples are gritting their teeth at each other, and we've all been there. I mean, we have to be honest. We have all been there, and we've all had a Christmas where, you know, the turkey's burnt, and this has happened, and the dog's eaten someone's stocking. And so anyway, we decided to come up with this plan to take the sting out of Christmas, both from a budget perspective and from a stress perspective. We want people to arrive at Christmas Eve relaxed and excited and ready to celebrate with their family and friends. And so, you know, we say in the Christmas plan, there's no need to panic. This year, everything can be different. Instead of hitting Christmas Eve more frazzled than an overcooked turkey,
mm-hmm.
you can glide through the annual round of presents and parties with confidence and ease, keeping your cool while all those around you are losing theirs. It just takes a touch of planning. And
mm-hmm.
we've all heard it said that if you fail to plan to fail.
Right.
And I think with Christmas and we've got little ones, we all want it to be a fun time. But if you don't plan for it, it's going to be that stressful thing. So week one, pause for thought, is basically it starts on October 19th. You know, Halloween mm-hmm. is on its way, mm-hmm. but we know that we can look through the supermarkets and our shopping centers and we can hear the bells jingling somewhere in the background. Christmas is on its way. So week one is really just pause for thought. Get into the zone. It's October, but start to think about what you want your Christmas to look like. You know,
mm-hmm.
decide who you want around the table, what you want, where you want your tree to be. Decide those kinds of things and just start to think about the season. So week one is just pause for thought, really, and just get into the zone.
Mm-hmm. And that brings us to week two, make a list and check it twice.
Week two is basically get organized. Revise your Christmas card list and start thinking about presents. Set a holiday budget. Sit with your husband, your partner, whoever. Create a holiday budget that everybody agrees on. Now, in my case as well, my oldest daughter is 11
mm-hmm.
years old. So this year, she wants to start doing some Christmas shopping of her own, which is
mm-hmm.
absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to put some boundaries around that. I can't just say to her, okay, go for it. She needs a budget. She needs to work within that. She needs to start thinking about it, just like we do. We
mm-hmm.
all know how much we can spend, or you might not. So sit down, decide what it is, and then if you can, add a little bit extra to that budget just in case.
Mm-hmm.
We suggest in week two, which is only October, October 19th, October 23rd or something,
mm-hmm.
we suggest buying your Christmas cards
mm-hmm.
and start to write them, especially your overseas ones, because we all
right.
know, and living overseas, and probably you too, Johnny,
mm-hmm.
we've got people that we need to send things to, and I have been standing at DHL, spending a bomb, blowing my budget because I didn't get my in-laws' presents away quickly enough.
Right.
So
right.
we suggest doing that now. And the other thing is, if you're not going to send Christmas cards, and here's one thing I want to suggest: everybody misses getting mail,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
a Christmas card is a nice way because we all get excited to go to the mailbox. We're also used to emails now, but actually, a handwritten card is a beautiful expression of appreciation to someone and placing value on another person, because you've actually gone to the effort of going out, buying a card, putting a stamp on it, writing the words, all that kind of stuff. But if you're going to use email, then why not sit down now, write your Christmas letter out, put it all in your, you know, gather all the email addresses that you want, sit it in your draft file. So if you want to send that email out on December 23rd, then it's a simple press of the send button. It's not this, I need to find so-and-so's address, I need to do this, I need to write the card, what am I going to say? It's all done.
Yes, yes. It's very true. But what I like about week two also, I noticed that you do have, you know, you put some thought in Christmas charity, which is kind of nice, and having a family involved with that. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, one of the things that we really encourage families to do, and, you know, our kids live in this me society, the iPhone, the iPod, the iTouch, the, you know, everything is I. And so one of the things that we strongly recommend is, as a family, sit down and decide what charity you will be supporting. And, you know, come on, especially us in North America, we can, you know, scrape together something and support someone else, even if it's a family in your school, you know, that you know is struggling and not going to be able to do something, then do a Secret Santa thing and go out and buy a Walmart card, gift card for $50 or whatever, $20, anything you can do that is going to bless somebody. But get involved in a charity. You know, this year one of the things I want to do with my kids is go down and, you know, the little red shoe boxes? It's Franklin Graham's ministry that they do, Operation Santa Claus, I think it's called. And I want to take my kids down and help pack those boxes and go to the, you know, the local soup kitchens and stuff. I think it's important to get your kids out there to see beyond counting the number of presents under the tree for them.
And so starting at a very young age is important, too.
Absolutely start at a young age. And, you know, this stems from something that I did as a child. My mother always, every Christmas, she makes marmalade, and she makes homemade marmalade, homemade bread with this beautiful frosting on the bread, which is totally decadent. And as children, we always were sent, she would drive the car, and we would know whose house to go into. And I'll quickly tell you a little story about someone. Do we have time for a little story?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. There's a man in our town, and his name was Little Philip. And I've told this story when I've spoke in different places around the world, and it touches the heart of everybody. But this little man lived by himself in a tiny, tiny house, and he had a dog. And I don't know his background, but I don't imagine that it was your success story. I think there was a lot of sadness in his life, and I don't think there was a lot of value placed on him as an individual. Every Christmas, my mom made little Philip his jar of marmalade and his bread. And we would be sent as kids. And I have to admit, when I was a little girl, I was a bit scared knocking on his door because, you know, you see something
a little
different
weird or something like that. Yeah, scary.
Yeah, it was a bit off-putting for me. But every year I'd go. And, you know, it was the one gift that he got. And he looked forward to that gift every year because someone was placing value on him. Someone was caring. And seeing something in him. And he, every year we'd go. And my mom oftentimes would pick the probably the ones who were least likely to have a family sitting around the table. Probably the ones who were most likely to be having a TV dinner, and we would go as children in our town of 900 people, and we would knock on their doors, and we would say Merry Christmas, and we would give them these very simple, simple gifts, very inexpensive, but something that touched the heart. And that was my experience as a child, and I think it's important. You know, I will never forget little Philip's face when we showed up every year, and that's something that has been woven within me, and I think it's important that we, especially now in the world that we're living in, we have got to encourage our kids to live beyond themselves.
Definitely. So, this is the touch of that unconditional love, because I remember as you talk about that, I remember growing up, my mom does what your mom did in terms of doing something special for someone that you never thought about, but she, it's on her radar for whatever reason during festive season. And for us, of course, in Malaysia, was Chinese New Year. It's a time to share. And you being in Asia, you realize that, you know, about Chinese New Year being something very big and an auspicious occasion to share things. And that's what my mom do. And my mom, you know, sometimes I'm not able to do certain things, but certainly give cash. And to someone, to you, maybe $1 or $2 or $10, but to someone else, that might be $100 to them.
Yeah.
And we sometimes we fail to think about that, and you're right, because we do live in the me world. Studying at the young age, you know, and being a mother and having you speak of this is fantastic, because and this is what it's all about, you know, being sort of a, you know, back, bringing it back to the kitchen and saying, you know, hey, what is truly valuable and what is truly unconditional love here, and sharing that spirit. I think that's tremendously exciting, you know, to hear that you talk about that.
And some of the simple things that we do in week two as well is we say buy your wrapping paper, your tape, your extra scissors, find a place in the house, and this is really clever, find a place in the house and create a wrapping station. So you've got, and that for me is going to be in my storage room downstairs. I'm putting a table up. I'm going to have everything there. And so if I need to wrap a present, if the kids need to wrap a present, I've got guests coming who are going to be shopping when they get here. They're going to need to wrap. I'm creating a space that you can mess up, that don't worry about it. This is the wrapping. And the other thing is, if you want to save some money,
yeah,
go to your butcher and get a roll of their brown paper and let your kids decorate it. People love that kind of stuff.
Right.
And
right.
Then we encourage you to organize, fill out your social calendar with your menus, your guest list, plan your menus now. And so that's week two.
And week three is food, glorious food. You know, that's where I come in. My eyes get bigger. Let's talk about the holiday groceries.
Week three is draw up your holiday grocery list. And we have got on our family room site, which is susanjson.com/thefamilyroom. We've got a weekly planner on there. And I use it for my radio show. I use it for my kids' social things and their sporting events. I use it for my Christmas plan. I use that plan for everything. But basically what we say is sit down. Look at what you're doing. What are you having people? You know, every year I have people over for Christmas drinks and appetizers, my neighbors. So what do I need to buy for that? And I start buying now. I've got a place set up in my storage room. My husband's actually helping me move a cupboard down there today, which is going to be my Christmas food cupboard. And that is where every week with the Christmas plan, we encourage you to buy, starting in week three, we encourage you to start buying stuff, whether it's your candy canes, nuts, crackers, chips, pretzels, two bottles of soft drink or bottles of juice, a bottle of wine or spirits. We say start adding those things to your weekly shopping list now and avoid that $400 bill or whatever it's going to look like on December 24th when you're standing there and you know your credit card is maxed out. And you're thinking, well, I've got to spend this. Start doing it now, and that's where it takes the sting out of your budget. But one of the things we've done, and we started this last year, and Johnny, you've probably heard of this, but we had a turducken last year for Christmas.
Yes.
Have you heard of?
Oh,
yeah.
Definitely. And being from Louisiana, definitely. Deep bone.
And they're divine.
Fantastic. Yes. Yes,
yeah,
fantastic.
And so that's one of the things we've decided we're having for Christmas this year. So we're going to be calling up the man that we bought it from last year. We're going to pay for it in advance, and we're going to have it all ready. So get your list together and start chipping away. And on the plan, we do each week we've got, from week three on, we've got a grocery list, what to buy this week. And then you take that list, and we've given you some ideas, and then make it your own. So whatever you need to add on, if you are, you know, from the South, or if you're of Asian descent and you want different things at your Christmas table, whatever that looks like, then add it and make it your own. So the other thing that we say in week three is check online. If you're sending gifts overseas, remember weight is a worry. So consider Amazon and other online stores to cut down on postage. We also say, make it fun, grab a thermos of hot chocolate, gather the troops, and spend an afternoon in the great outdoors hanging your lights on your trees. And we're going to be doing that this weekend.
Well, you know, we are in week three now. Obviously, November 2nd is week three. So that leads us to week four, which is next week. And I like this one, too, naughty or nice.
Naughty or nice is get out your gift list and decide who's getting what. Check out eBay. As I said, your online stores, your local markets are fantastic for finding really cost-effective gifts that aren't going to be your run-of-the-mill. And if you're looking at them now, if you're going to your local markets now, you can actually have time, if you've made your list, to think about a person and think, well, what would so-and-so like? We all know what it's like when we've been given a gift that someone hasn't really thought about, you know, the gift basket from Walmart or whatever that's been on sale for the last 3 weeks. We know what that feels like. You kind of think, oh, they felt like they had to get me something, so they got me this.
Yeah,
well, if
yeah.
you've got your list made up, then think about the person. And you don't have to spend a lot of money, but go to your local markets, look around, your store catalogs, great ideas. And week four, we say buy at least 4 gifts. And if you're thinking ahead, as I said, you don't have to spend a lot. Just be wise. Mm-hmm. If you have children and you're going to be going out, I know that on December 18th, my neighbor's having her annual Christmas party and kids aren't invited. I'm booking my babysitter now. I know that I've got a couple Christmas concerts that I need to go to kids aren't, like choir stuff that I've been invited to.
Right.
The kids, it's probably not the easiest place for kids to be, booking my babysitter now. So do all of those kind of things. Dig out your Christmas tree lights and check them, because if you're anything like me, 1 year I found myself Christmas, you know, we put up our tree around the 15th or 10th of December, and I get the lights out, and it must have been that time of the month. I don't know, but I lost the plot on my husband. I was upset. The bulbs weren't working.
Oh.
He had to race out, buy new bulbs. He, of course, bought the wrong ones, and so it turned into our Christmas tree decorating night, which is usually a really fun night in our house, turned into a nightmare simply because I hadn't checked them beforehand. So we suggest things like that. And then in week four, buy your fruitcake, other baking ingredients, your sparklers, bottle of wine, economy-size pack of toilet paper and tissues. We don't forget anything. Dishwashing tablets and soap, because you don't want to be caught short when Christmas hits and then, you know, all of a sudden you're hand-washing Christmas dinner dishes because you don't have any dishwasher.
Nicely.
So that's week four.
Week five, feed the world, and this is where it comes back to that turducking. You know, I saw that. I've highlighted it. It's fantastic. Where do you get your turducking from?
I get mine in a town called Canmore. So if anybody's in Calgary, it's in Canmore, and we order it from a company there, and it is absolutely divine. And here's the thing with Christmas. You know, we all think that we've all got our own traditions, and we kind of changed our tradition up a little bit last year by doing the turducken. And we were going to my parents' place for Christmas, and my husband and I said, we'd like to try this. Would you guys like to do with this, this with us? And thankfully, my family are quite enthusiastic. And so we bought the turducken, and we cooked it. Everybody was a little bit hesitant because you cook it at like 120 degrees or something for 14 hours. Cooking poultry at a low heat for a long time was a little bit scary. But it was fantastic, and it has become a new tradition. And that's, you know, to the people who are listening who are young married couples or whatever, I think one of the hardest things with Christmas and these festive seasons is when you come together and all of a sudden you become a couple and you know, I'm used to Christmas looking this way, and we always open our presents in our pajamas. And, well, your husband's family always showers first.
Right.
You know, you've got to mix all this stuff up. So create some new traditions for your own family and make it unique to who you are.
Right.
So that's
and I
want
to share that, too, and I agree with that. Yeah. And I just want to mention this also about turducking. For those who don't know what a turducking is, it's deboned chicken, stuffed deboned chicken, stuff into a deboned duck, and then in turn stuff into a deboned turkey. And that's where you get turducken from. And it is a Cajun dish out in from Louisiana. Of course, you know, Canada, you have a lot of the influence of the Cajun French. And for those listeners in the United States, you can get this. There are a couple of places that are just wonderful, excellent places to order. I don't have their phone numbers, but I can tell you this. Herbert's in Maurice, Louisiana, and it's spelled H-E-R-B-E-R-T. It's pronounced Herbert, but in French it's Herbert's in Maurice, Louisiana. And the other one is Chris Specialty Meats in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Chris Specialty Meat. I have to do this little commercial for them. I don't get paid for it, but it's for me because I love their food. Sorry about that.
Yeah. No, that's perfect. Absolutely. The other thing we encourage in week 5 is buy and wrap your gifts for your teachers. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a few weeks early, but you know you're going to be caught out with your kids saying, we don't have a present for so-and-so. Well,
right.
Do it now. And the other thing is if you get an email from the person who's your class mom or whatever saying, will you donate $10 to the gift, just say yes, get that $10 in and have it done and dusted, and that's done. In week 5, we say buy 4 more gifts for your list. So then in total, you've already got 8 gifts done.
Right.
Wrap them. If you're anything like me and you're going to forget what you've bought and what you've wrapped, put a yellow sticky on it and hide them so, you know, little eyes can't see them. If you order your Christmas tree, if you're opting for real, order it now or find out where your Christmas tree sales are happening so you know where to go and you're not fighting crowds or anything. If you're doing an artificial one, spruce it up in preparation for decoration. And then to buy in week 5, we suggest batteries for toys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many times have you bought your kids toys and you forget that it says batteries not included? And so little Tommy wants to play with his remote control car on Christmas morning, but you don't have any batteries. And a good place to buy batteries is IKEA or Costco or Walmart. Go and buy your bulk batteries. Save some money. Don't find yourself. One of our listeners found herself standing in line on Christmas Day at the only convenience store that was open, and she spent something like $50 buying batteries. Cupboard essentials like sauces, salad dressing, mustard, stuffing ingredients, spices, crouton, cranberry sauce, applesauce, a bottle of soft drink, bottle of wine, a bottle of Bailey's, or whatever you want. So we've got your shopping list there again.
That's
week 5.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Week 6, we're getting into all this wonderful, music, Christmas music. Week 6, you got it labeled as Hark the Herald.
Yeah, and, you know, I start playing my favorite Christmas album, and I say it loud and say it proud, is Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton. I play that Christmas album at the top volume for weeks. Now, most people aren't like me. That's not their favorite album. But, you know, Mariah Carey, all those beautiful, Josh Groban, get those albums out. Get your favorites out there. Heck, Air Supply has a Christmas album. Get them out. Start playing your Christmas. Get yourself into the spirit of Christmas. Buy 4 more gifts. Send out your party invites. Plan your holiday house cleaning schedule that works for everybody. Now, I've got, over the holiday season, I'm going to have 14 people in my house. And we've got 2 families coming, and so I'm putting a roster together, which is a breakfast crew, preparation breakfast, cleanup breakfast. So each meal is going to have 2 people on prep and on cleanup, and then I'm going to be putting an additional thing together for the kids to keep the family room clean, to keep their bedrooms clean, and I make no apologies for that because we're all coming together to celebrate, and I'm not the maid, and so moms and women who are listening, put the roster together and put it together in a nice way, make it all exciting and whatever, but don't feel like everything has to fall on you because it doesn't. You've got healthy people in your home that can help, and everybody actually wants to help if they're given a job. If you've got young kids, give them age-appropriate jobs, mm-hmm. and it is a good way to train the family to come together, and many hands make light work. So we really, really recommend that, because that's where a lot of women can really feel the pressure of the holidays, is we all want our house to, you know, stay sparkling clean. But the reality is it's not going to. So just put your roster together, get everybody to pitch in and help, and don't stress about the dust bunnies. You can get them in a couple of weeks.
That's true. And not only that, what I'm looking at is that this is the greatest opportunity for the family to connect, to do a family project, actually, because everybody's mm-hmm. got an equal stake in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
absolutely.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times, because I know that, you know, parents would say, or moms would say, well, how can I connect with, you know, my child? And, well, this is a fantastic time to do that. And so so I agree, you know, exactly what you're talking about, getting everybody engaged, because everybody got, you know, stake in what's going on and making sure everything is perfect. So, week 7, alert the media. Let's talk about that.
Okay, so email your Christmas newsletter. If you've already prepared it and it's sitting in your draft file, all you have to do is press send and include a recent fun family photo, because everybody wants to see what your kids look like, what everybody looks like from the year. So gather together, take a photo. Doesn't have to be your, you know, in a studio. Just take something fun so people can see who you are. Or, you know, pop something on YouTube. Get mm-hmm. yourself a little YouTube channel. Do a YouTube video. Send the link to people so they can jump on and hear a Christmas wish from your whole family. That's kind of an interesting thing to do, and it's fun. So be creative in how you wish people a happy Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. Make sure your cameras and video cameras are in good working order, that the batteries are fully charged. You know, we've all been caught ready to take that perfect photo of little so-and-so, and then, oh, no, I have no memory space. Make sure that's done. Buy 4 more gifts. Put up the final outdoor decorations. Get your wreath on the door, the flying Santa with the sleigh on the roof, whatever your outdoor decorations are. If you want to have your hair done, and you talked about Chinese New Year before,
right.
Johnny, I know that when... for Chinese New Year, one of the big things in my husband's family is mm-hmm. everybody needs to have their hair done. Like, you have
right.
to have your hair cut and
right.
and done properly. So do you want, you know, your kids, do they need haircuts, whatever? Do you need a hair appointment? Girls, if you need your roots done, book it now, because I promise you, you don't want to have your Christmas photos with your roots looking bad. So book your hair appointment now and get in
right.
before the Christmas rush hits, because our hairdressers are all crazy busy before Christmas and we mm-hmm. don't get to get in. So get that done. Clean your oven and your microwave. Like, mm-hmm. you know, that's something. You're going to have people over and you're going to ask Aunt Edna to heat up the gravy in the microwave. Well, when she opens the microwave and she sees last week's exploded pasta sauce, it's kind of gross. So clean your oven and your microwave. It's an easy thing to do, and also it's just going to help Christmas sing a little bit more in your own head. This week, buy roasting trays, tinfoil, plastic wraps, napkins, plastic cups, plates for the kids. Don't be afraid to use plastic and paper plates, or have them on hand. I'm not a big paper plate fan.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we should, you know, everybody should use nice, especially at
mm-hmm.
Christmas dinner. But if you're doing a more casual thing, then go out, buy a color, buy a theme,
mm-hmm.
Do something fun and exciting for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're going to use them for the late night snack after Christmas dinner, then buy them, have them on hand. You never know when they'll come in handy.
Right.
Buy 2 bottles of flavored sparkling water and a bottle of wine. And that is week 7.
Well, week 8 gets into December. So, and it's and I like it. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Yep, we say turn up the festive music, but don't upset the neighbors. But I say let a little bit of the cheer pour into the neighbors. Buy 4 more gifts. We're already at 16 gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Send your cards for students and gifts for teachers to school. So if you've got little ones, you know how they all do the Christmas cards and the whatever, do all of that so they're ready, send them to school. Little Johnny, I shouldn't say little Johnny, little Tommy can have them sitting in his desk ready to go. Set up your tree, decorate, bake Christmas cookies with the kids and let them decorate them and put them together and send them to the neighbors. Everybody loves a little Christmas cheer. Mm-hmm. Treat yourself to any necessary winter beauty treatments.
Mm-hmm.
Girls, if you need to be waxed, if you want your toes done, if you need anything done, take some time, book it off with your husband or your partner and just say, this is my hour and a half, two
mm-hmm.
hours, I'm going to get everything done. Dry clean your little black dress and any special outfits that you may need.
Mm-hmm.
If your kids are in Christmas concerts, find all their clothes that they need for the concert. Hang them in one spot in the closet so you're not running around the night of the concert looking for black stockings or a headband. Put it all together. We've got on there, buy some new undies. Why not? It's Christmas. Everybody needs a new pair of undies. And that this week, buy Christmas crackers, after dinner mints, tea lights, candles, table decorations. Visit your local flower shop and pick up some greenery, mistletoe, ivy, holly, whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Buy some. If you don't know how to pull it all together, ask one of your friends. If you see a friend who's done something really, really nice and you want it done, ask them to help you. It's super easy and fun.
Oh, definitely.
So that's week 8.
Definitely. Week 9, deck the halls.
Deck the halls. Create a special Christmas decorating tradition. One of the things we do is we have something called Christmas Tree Decorating Night. We have a night of appetizers. The kids help me come up with the menu. We give everybody a job, age appropriate. My daughter is the head decorator. My son is creative consult, and my little daughter is decoration hander. So she hands all the decorations to people. But come up with a fun night. We have carols playing. We invite people over. Especially some of the single people in your world. If you've got people who are single and want to be involved, invite them over that night. It's a very fun night. Have some mulled wine. Get some apple cider going. And make it into a beautiful night. One of the other things that we sometimes do on that night is have fondue. Fondue is a fun, engaging way to eat, or we do a Japanese shabu shabu. We do something different that's easy for me to prepare. Cleanup isn't huge, and we just enjoy the night. We say buy 4 more gifts that week. Enjoy Christmas movies with the whole family. What are your favorites? Get them out. Watch them. Let the kids stay up a little bit later and watch some movies. Have popcorn. Do whatever you want. We take a Christmas sparkle tour of all the lights in our neighborhood, town, or city. And so we go around and we just stand in awe of all these beautiful lights and at the, you know, what people go to celebrate. And we find that really fun. We go and we stop and we get a hot chocolate, or we take a thermos of hot chocolate, which is really fun for the kids. It's kind of more fun than stopping at Starbucks. If everybody has this, you know, we have a big thermos and we're pouring them in cups, it's actually really nice. And another thing that we do, and I haven't put it in here, but we will do it in week 9, we're going caroling. We are bringing back caroling, and we're going to go around and we're going to carol at people's houses. We did it last year, we did it the year before, and we're going to have a caroling party. I'm going to put a pot of chili on the stove. We are, and just buy some bread rolls. We're going to invite people. We're going to go in our neighborhood, and we're going to carol, and then we'll end up at our place afterwards for a warm bowl of chili. The kids can play. It's really about bringing people together and celebrating. And then that week to buy cooking oils, buy a bottle of champagne just to have on hand, a bottle of wine or a case of beer, whatever you know, you never know what you want. And then buy garbage bags because you all know you're going to need garbage bags. And week 10, it's a wrap. Buy any last-minute gifts, parcel them up, invite neighbors over for relaxed drinks and nibblies night, gather a group of friends, and as I say, go caroling, visit a local church and soak up the atmosphere and the magic of a candlelight service. To buy in week 10, fruit, veggies, salad, all of your stuff that is perishable, buy those things now. You know, you've already cleaned out your fridge when you cleaned out your microwave and everything, so everything is ready.
Right.
Buy your bacon, your cartons of juice, your dips, pre-made frozen appetizers, whatever you do, because you've got your menu already sorted so you know what you need. And then Christmas Eve, may your day be merry and bright. cook your turkey and anything else that can be prepared in advance. Pick up bags of ice if you need them. Take time to sit down and relax by your Christmas tree with your family. Reflect, share a laugh, and get an early night's sleep. So that is how the family room has successfully created this plan from our own lives and from what we have done as families. And we have arrived at the season. You know, there's always something that's going to crop up. Life is going
right.
to throw you a curveball. But this, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So that's why we do this plan.
It's fantastic. It's totally awesome. How can someone get the information about you, the family room, and your 10-week Christmas plan?
The best way is to jump onto SusanJSaun.com, and that's the main entry to the site. And then you can click through to the family room, and it
mm-hmm.
is on there. In addition to the plan, we've got recipes on there. The whole site is designed to build extraordinary families, develop relationships, and strengthen the communities that we live in. So jump on, take what you want. Our hope is that when you engage with the family room, whether it be through the website, our radio show, newspaper columns, or anything we do, that you can take something away that you can implement in your family life and see results immediately. So please use it as a resource, and if we can help in any way, that's what we hope to do.
No, it's fantastic. Susan, what can we expect from you in 2010?
In 2010, we're going to be doing a lot more Family Room live events. We want to go into quite a few more cities. We host events where we bring the community together, and the last event we did, we gave away about $60,000 worth of stuff. We bring about 200 people together, and we celebrate family, and we talk about family. We have a very fun night, and so we're going to do a lot more of those in different cities around the globe. And you'll probably see a book. I've written a children's book, and I'm working on another one right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll probably see a few publications from me and a few more columns that I'll be writing for different newspapers and magazines. So you never know.
Right.
More on I do a lot of quick YouTube videos and stuff. I love doing things through the Internet. So there'll be stuff like that, and you never know what we'll step into.
Fantastic. We're coming close to the end of the show, and for all guests that I have on this show, do you have a recipe for living you would like to share with our listeners this morning?
A recipe for living, I think keep it simple and keep it real. Life is for living, and if you can keep it simple and you can keep it real, it is a lot of fun. And the other thing is, find something every day to laugh at. And those are probably my three things. And just love in an extraordinary way. Do it different. So that's from me. That's my recipe for living.
That's wonderful. That's fantastic. Susan, thank you for the great recipe. I really like it. And for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us this morning. Please join me next Tuesday morning as we continue with our theme, Home for the Holidays, the Celebration of the Heart with a Gift from the Soul. My guest will be Kelly Barnett. She's an ASID interior designer who specializes in kitchen designs and makeovers. She's also a working mom. We'll be discussing her life's journey, the history of kitchens, kitchen designs, and makeovers, and getting your kitchen ready for the holidays. For additional information about this show, future shows, and for my weekly recipes for a living, please go to FromMyMamasKitchen.com, and you can also follow me on Twitter at Twitter/FMMK Talk Radio. Thank you for listening, and have a great week. Susan, thank you again, and have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Johnny. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.